Great Play.
From old, old time, I come across the years to talk with you about a play. A poem play it is, and written by a countryman of mine, whose name no doubt is known to you. Euripides, and the play Alcestis. The plot concerns but there, you'll wonder now who I might be, speaking thus without an introduction. Merely an elderly townsman of Pherae, in the kingdom of Thessaly in Greece, some 2,000 years ago. Do you think it odd that my voice should come to you? Dismiss it from your thought. We ancients, simple as we were, knew many things now clouded in your understanding. And do you think your problems vastly different from the ones we knew? Dismiss that likewise from your thought. For, except in outward show, there is no change in truth, no change in love or loyalty, no change at all. Philosophers only write when they become too tired to think. You see, our king Admetus had reached his time to die, and being mortal like the rest of us, he didn't want to, and he asked the gods to help him. But none would hear, save only Apollo, and he in kindness gave ear and tricked the fates, that should Admetus find one friend to take his place in death, he might live on until his appointed time. Armed with this good news, he searched his kingdom, but to no avail. Father, mother, brothers, friends, all sympathized, but all declined. That is, all declined but one, and she, his wife, Alcestis, young, beautiful and true, she alone, remembering what one was to say some years after her, greater love hath no man than this, remembering the future, she, Alcestis, the wise, the beautiful, pledged her life for her love. Thus it comes about her death day is at hand, and Apollo enters at Admetus' house to take his leave and talk with death, cruel death, whose sword is keen, whose mind is adamant. Attend.
House of Admetus, where I lived so long, fed with the food of slaves and hired soldiers, and I a god. Can I forget how Zeus stabbed my son with his lightning through the heart, and I, raging, cut down the old Helios, god's fire forgers? Or how for this the Father of Heaven bound me servant to death-bound man? I came down into this country and served Admetus as herdsman for his flock. I guarded his house. I saved him even from death when I tricked the three sisters of the frail thread, forcing their word for it, that he need not go down into the dark land if he found a friend to take his place among the dead. A friend. He went to all his friends in turn, to his father and his mother also, and he found none but his wife who dared to die for him. Dared to give up the sweet sunlight for him, none but his wife. And now they are comforting her in the house, for she is dying. And I must leave the dear shelter of this place, that I be not stained with her death. For see, already Thanatos, priest of the dying, has come to lead her down to the sad world underground. So you have come, Death. You have lost no time.
Prince of Light, have you come to quarrel with me in this house again? Will you corrupt again those rites that only hell should use? That you charmed the fatal sisters, that your twisting slippery tricks delayed Admetus' death, I know. But why you stand armed at the door, bright guardian of Alcestis, I do not know. Has she not promised? Tell me, Apollo, has she not promised to die? Is not this the day?
You need not be afraid of me, Death. I will not wrong you. Only Admetus is my friend, and I suffer for him.
Yet you go armed, Apollo.
I go armed always.
And are always overkind to Admetus' house. Are you planning how to cheat me of this new death?
Did I take Admetus from you by force?
He walks above ground. Why is he not beneath it?
He has given you his wife.
And I have come to take her.
Take her and go. But stay, Death. If any words of mine could move you.
To what? To kill a life that is forfeit? Oh, Apollo, you need not teach me my office.
No. I would have you postpone her death.
I understand you. Well?
Allow Alcestis to reach her old age.
Never. My honor is mine, Apollo, as yours is yours.
Honor? What honor do you find in the death of one young woman?
The prize is greater when the dead is young.
Let her die old, and her funeral will bring you riches.
I leave you the riches, Apollo. You know what they are worth. Your rich men can pay you well to buy them away from death.
Who would ever have said death had such wit? Then you will not grant me this?
I cannot. You have measured me once before. You know what I am.
I know you. The hatred of men. The loathing of the gods.
Nevertheless, you shall not have everything that is not yours.
Death, death, I say to you, this day your bitterest cruelty is too weak. Listen. A man is coming here to Pherae. A man is coming stronger than all your strength. Here in this house, Admetus will receive him and honor him. And it is he, Death, who will wrestle with you and take Alcestis back from you at the door of hell. For you must yield her, Death. And though you deny me now, you shall yield at last to my hate.
This was a god of many words, but words are not enough, Apollo. Today, this woman must go down to death. My sword is ready. The lock of hair, the sign of sacrifice to the dark gods underground. Now it is mine to take.
I wonder what the silence means. Why is the whole house so silent? There is no one here to tell us if we must mourn for our queen or if she is alive still. Alcestis, Pelias' daughter. Surely the noblest of women, the best of wives, surely.
Can anyone hear them weeping? Is there beating of hands or lamentation? Or any cry of death within there? Nothing. There is nothing. No sound. No servant stands at the door. O Paeon, Apollo, my god of miracles, stay the new storm of sorrow.
Would they be so quiet if she were dead?
She is surely dead.
One thing is sure. She has not been taken away.
Why is it sure? Tell me, why is it sure?
How could Admetus have given private burial to one who has been so loyal a wife?
I cannot see the urn at the door with water in it, which is usual when a person is dead, nor any lock of hair fallen, the sign of sorrow at the threshold. No sound of young women weeping for her who dies young.
Nevertheless, this is her day to die.
What are you whispering?
I said today she must go underground.
You have broken my heart.
Then be comforted. When a good man is hurt, all who would be called good must suffer with him.
There is no power in the world to whom we could send to save her. Neither in Lycia, nor in the desert where the dark temples of Ammon are. Strong death comes down upon her. I do not know what altars we could make sacrifice on.
Only if Apollo's son were here. If his eyes opened to the light again, he yet might save her from the dark, from death's dark corridor. That god made men stand up, whom death had overthrown. But God's thunder consumed him, him also. Then how shall we pray?
Everything that could be done, the king has done. All the rites of funeral. On the altars of the gods, the black blood glows, the hopeless sacrifice. Of course you grieve if anything happens to your master, girl. We understand that. But tell us, the queen, is she alive or dead?
She is alive and dead.
How can that be?
She is at the very brink of death. Her breath is failing her.
Oh, Admetus, Admetus.
Let Admetus be. He will not understand till she is gone.
And can nothing be done for her?
Nothing. This is her day.
Oh, then her day is beyond praise. In all the world, there is surely not her equal among women.
Not in all the world. Where shall you ever find a greater love than this, that a wife should die her husband's death? But listen, I must tell you. Early this morning, when she saw that the day had come, she bathed her white body in fresh water from the stream, took her fine things from the coffers of cedar, and dressed herself becomingly. Then stood before the fire and prayed. Half goddess, now I am going into earth. I shall not pray to you ever again. Watch over my children when I am dead. Give the boy a wife who will be dear to him, and give the girl a good husband. Do not let them die like their mother while they are young, but grant that they may be fortunate. Let them lead happy lives in the land of their people. Then she went from altar to altar in the house, praying and making wreaths for them all, shedding off the leaves of young myrtle branches, quietly, without a word, so still, so lovely, he would have said that no evil had ever touched her. But in her chamber, then there were tears. Dear bed, she cried, dear bridal bed, you are no longer mine. And she knelt and kissed it, weeping until there were no more tears, then rose and left the chamber, comforting her children, who clung to her, crying. And all her servants came, and she gave her right hand sweetly to each in turn. Even the meanest blessed her, and was blessed. These are the sorrows of Admetus' house. What has he gained? He had died, why, then he would have died. But now his grief is so bitter, all his life he never will escape it. Never forget.
What is he doing now?
Weeping. Holding his wife in his arms, weeping. Begging her to stay. All madness. For she is dying. Her spirit is fainting. And always her eyes are upon the moving sun, as if she had never seen the sun before, and now would say goodbye to it forever. But I will tell Admetus that you have come. Not everyone would have been so quick to share our master's burden. You are a good friend, and have been always. You are welcome here.
Is there no way, O God? Must this terror come upon us?
Is there no help, O God? Must I go mourning forever?
Dear friends, we must. But even so, pray to the gods. They have great power.
O Lord Apollo, my God of healing, have mercy upon Admetus. Grant it, oh, grant it.
Grant it, oh, grant it.
As in the old time, now again, save him from death.
Save him from death.
Drive back the perilous king of the dead.
My tears are for you, Admetus. How will you live when she is gone?
A man could cut his throat or hang himself against heaven for this.
She is not dear, but the dearest of all, this woman who dies today.
Look, she is coming out of her house, and he is with her. Cry out. Let all fear I mourn, and earth itself cry out for her, who goes now, fainting, frail, to the kingdom underground.
Never say that marriage is more of joy than pain. I have seen many marriages. I have seen the fortune of my king.
Lost is the loveliest, lost the dear wife. What can all his days bring? What pleasure is there in his life that is no life?
See, she comes. Poor queen, she can hardly stand. Admetus holds her up.
O sun, O shining clear day, and white clouds wheeling in the clear of heaven.
The sun looks upon us and sees that we are unhappy. How have we harmed him or the other gods? Why should you die?
O Iolcus, this ground that I stand on. This dear roof that sheltered me when I was married.
Pray to the gods. Perhaps even now they may have pity on us both.
I see the dark lake, the boat in shore, and Charon holding the double oar, calling, "Why are you waiting, Alcestis? Come, you are holding us back." Can you not hear him? Listen. He is angry.
I hate this angry god and the voyage he is calling you for. What a terrible thing this is for us both.
Someone is touching me. Do you see anyone? Someone drawing me down to death's house. It is death himself with great wings. Death frowning upon me. Such a strange journey, and I am so afraid.
This is a terrible thing for everyone who loves you. A terrible thing for your husband and your children.
You need not hold me anymore. Please let me lie down. I have no strength to stand so near to death. And the dark creeps on my eyes like night. Children, goodbye. You have no mother anymore. Be happy in the sweet sunlight.
Oh, God, I'd rather die than hear you say these things. For my sake and for your children's sake, do not leave me now. With you dead, I should be nothing at all. I live only in you and for you.
Admetus. Ah, Admetus. You see what is happening to me now, and to you as well. I have done this for you freely. For though I am dying, I need not have died. I could have had any man in Thessaly, a prince even, like you. And I might have lived with him in his splendid house. But without you, with my children fatherless, I could not live. Yet this is no small thing for me to die. I am young. These years have been pleasant. Your father and mother, who failed you, might have died for you, and it would have been noble. For they had no other son, nor any hope of children after you. They might have saved you, and you and I could have lived out all our days, and you would not be left alone now with these poor children. But I suppose some god managed this thing to turn out as it has, and so let it be. But now, Admetus, promise me something in return. Not so great a thing, for nothing is more precious than life, but a thing that I have surely deserved. You love these children as well as I do. Make them the masters here. Do not marry again. Do not set a woman above them. Whoever she might be, sometimes she'd strike them. And they are our children. I beg you to promise me this. A second wife is hateful to the children of the first. The boy here has a strong friend in his father. But, dearest daughter, how will it be with you growing up if your father marries again? Will she be kind to you? If only she will bring no scandal upon you in your girlhood and spoil your wedding day. Dearest, your mother will never see your wedding. Never hold your hand in childbirth at that time when there is no greater comfort than having her near you. But it is my fate to die. Fate comes not tomorrow or on the third day of the month, but in only a moment. And I shall be counted among the dead. Goodbye. You will be happy. Admetus, you can be proud of a good wife. Children, you can say that your mother was generous.
I will speak for Admetus. As he is a true man, he will do this thing for you.
I will speak for myself. It will be as you ask, believe me. I have loved you in your life. Love you now you are dying. You are my only queen. No other woman in all Thessaly shall ever take your place beside me here. There is no other woman, however beautiful, who could change my heart in this. And I pray the gods, who have given us both such pain, that these children yet may have a little pleasure. But until I die, this grief will remain with me, and hatred for my parents, both my father and my mother, friends in words, but enemies in deed, while you gave up your precious life to save my life. Mourning? I'll have mourning. I'll stop the dancing. There'll be no more flowers in my house, no laughter, no music. I'll never touch the strings of a harp again. All my happiness goes away with you. Yet, often I think in sleep you will come to me. A sweet thing to revisit in dreams the dear dead that we love. Oh, if I had Orpheus' voice and poetry with which to move the dark maid and her lord, I'd call you back, dear love, from the world below. I'd go down there for you. Charon or the grim king's dog could not prevent me then from carrying you up into the fields of light. But you, down there, be patient. I am coming. Make a place for me that we may be together. I'll be buried side by side with you. And in my death, I'll not be far from you. My dearest, only faithful friend.
Your grief will always be my grief, Admetus. She is worth more than both of us can give her.
Then you have promised. Children, you have heard your father promise. He will not marry another woman to trouble you. He will not dishonor my memory.
I swear it.
Then I leave you my children. Take them. Love them.
A dear gift from a dear hand.
Oh, my children. To think that I must die.
What shall I do when you're gone?
Why, nothing. Time will take care of that. The dead are nothing at all.
For God's sake, take me with you.
It seems enough that I am going for you.
But you, that you should go and I should stay.
It is quite dark.
If you leave me, there's nothing left for me.
I am nothing. Speak of me as nothing. The dead are nothing.
Lift your head up. Look, your children. What are you doing? What has happened? Oh, I am the most unhappy man that ever lived.
She is dead. Admetus, you are not the first man to lose a dear wife, nor will you be the last. Have patience, then, and remember that death comes to all of us.
That is true. For a long time I have prepared for this. The blow fell, not without warning. Thessalians, these are my orders for her funeral. Every man subject to me shall share in my mourning. Let every man clothe himself in black. Let the horsemen and charioteers clip their horses' manes. For 12 full months, I forbid the sound of lyre or of flute throughout the city. For never again shall I bury one more dear to me, or one more generous. For she alone has taken my place in death. Meanwhile, I command that you raise a pen to the king of the dead.
Daughter of Peleus, our love goes with you on the dark earth where you must enter now. Among the homes of death, the sunless houses. Even that ancient and gloom-bearded god, the guide of death, bent to his sad oar, let him remember well. No braver woman crossed with him ever to the silent shore.
Singers whom the muse haunts, haunting music often shall make to praise you on their strings, with lyreless chanting for your death's sorrow. At Sparta, in late summer when the moon glows all night long on nights of festival, or at rich Athens in the shining noon, such loveliness you leave them for their song.
Would I could save you from the black water, bring you to sunlight from the breathless dark, dear woman. Alone, dearest, yielding your spirit unto death for him. Light may the earth be over you, lightly rest. If ever Admetus takes a bride again, he shall be hateful to me and to his children.
The old one, grudging old bodies to the earth, mother and father, feared to save their son. But you who were beautiful are gone now from the light, and you were young. So dear a wife I wish might be my fortune, so dear a thing and rarest in the world. And I should pray she might stay with me ever.
My good people of Pherae, is Admetus at home and may I see him?
He is at home, Heracles, but tell us, what brings you to Thessaly and to our city here?
I am engaged on one of my labors for Eurystheus.
Where are you bound? What is your journey this time?
To Thrace. Diomed's horses are what I'm after.
How will you do it? Do you know Diomed?
Not at all. I've never been in that country.
Then you've a fight on your hands to take those horses.
Possibly, but I can't avoid these things, you know.
It's either kill Diomed or be killed yourself.
Well, it'll not be the first time I have fought like that.
If you do overcome him, what will you gain by it?
Only the horses to drive back to the king.
You'll not find it easy to get the bit in their mouths.
You think it'll be so hard? Do they snort fire?
That isn't it. They tear men apart with their jaws.
Come, we're discussing horses, friend, not lions.
Wait till you see the blood trampled in their stalls.
The man that reared these beauties, who was his father?
Ares, the war god, lord of the golden shield.
Then this labor fits my destiny. Always heavy. A sheer cliff I keep climbing. It seems that I must fight all the sons of Ares. First with Lycaon. Then with the swan, so-called. And now I go to wrestle with the third, the master of these horses. But I am Alcmena's son. No enemy shall ever see my hand tremble in battle.
Heracles, son of Perseus, god's son,
You are welcome to my house. Peace be with you, Admetus.
I wish it were. But thank you, Heracles.
What have you done to your hair? Are you in mourning?
I have a burial to make today.
God keep all evil from your children.
They are alive. They are in their rooms now.
Well, if it's your father, why, his time had come. He dies in death's season.
He and my mother are both alive and well.
Oh, but the queen, surely Alcestis is not dead. It's not your wife.
There are two answers I might make to that.
What do you mean?
She is alive, and yet she is not. It tortures me.
But these are riddles. What's their meaning?
Heracles, you know the death she was to die.
I know that she promised to die for you.
If that is true, how could I say that she is really alive?
Well, but wait for her death, man. Don't begin grieving now.
Whoever is doomed to death is already dead.
Being and not being are thought to be different things.
Make the distinction if you like. I cannot.
Why are you crying? What friend of yours is dead?
A woman. I have just been thinking of that woman.
Was she one of your family?
No, but there were ties between us.
How did she happen to die here in your house?
When her father died, she came here to live.
I am very sorry, Admetus. I wish I might have come when you were not so troubled.
What do you mean? Where are you going, Heracles?
I must find lodging with another friend.
No, no, my lord Heracles. That must never happen.
A guest is a burden in a house of mourning.
The dead are dead. Come now into my house.
It's shameful to force entertainment from sorrowing friends. I beg of you, please let me go. I shall be grateful.
You shall not go to anyone else tonight. You will show our guest to his room. Open the private one. Have the servants bring dinner and shut the doors to the main hall. He must not hear our weeping.
What are you thinking of, Admetus? Do you dare give guests entertainment after what has happened?
If I had turned this traveler away from my house, would you approve of me more? Surely you would not. What good would it have done? My sorrow would be no less, and I should have one friend the less. And this would have been one more calamity, to have my house called inhospitable. This man is my good friend when I go to Argos.
If he is really your friend, as you have said, how could you keep from him the sorrow that is upon us?
He would not even have stayed if he had known. I am aware that what I have done will be misunderstood.
It is a gracious house, as ever was, friendly to strangers and a home to friends. The God of heaven's music loved this place, herdsman and God. The God herdsman contests down gentle mountains, piping after his flock the bridal songs of the hills.
So sweet is music that the leopards came, and delicate lions prowled from the forest shadows, following where he led them without harm.
And through a grove one time a spotted doe ventured on light hooves, dancing as though it were for a chorus or a game.
Above the clear waves of this inland water, our king has rich lands whitened by his flocks.
Ploughland and plain he has, far off his borders, westward where the sun goes down in cloud, where Phoebus reins his horses in bright air, and on the east the sea, no harbors there.
Now he has thrown his doors wide for the stranger, weeping, his eyes wet, weeping the new dead. Surely such kindness now is half insane.
Yet in all things a good man reckons best, and bravery is set upon the mind, that man may act what truth he has divined.
Friends, your courtesy gives me strength. There is only a little left for us to do now. My servants have prepared her for burial, and everything has been done in order. But before we take her away, I would have you salute her as is customary for one setting out on this last journey.
But look, Admetus, your father is coming, and slaves bringing funeral ornaments for her. How old he seems, and how feeble.
I have come to share your grief, son. She was a good wife and a wise one, and you have lost her. Nevertheless, man was put on earth to suffer and to endure, either burden never so cruel. Take then from me these gifts that I have brought for her adorning, and let her go in peace to the world below. So it is right to honor her, son. She gave her life to save yours. She did not leave me childless to drag out my dying day to its close. Honor of womankind, dear audacious girl, Alcestis, daughter, savior of my son, and of me also, even in the house of death. Farewell. Believe me, son, such a marriage as yours has been is a blessed thing, a profitable thing. Why else should a man take a wife?
Were you invited here? You dare to bring gifts for her? Take your gifts. She needs no gifts of yours to be lovely underground. You mourn for her? Did I hear you snuffling for me when I was in danger? Then, when I needed you, then, why then, the burden of dying was shoved off on a stranger, a woman. You, squeaking back your old bones from the grave's door. My father. And now you dare come to cough out sobs at her funeral? My father. Or are you my father? She, that woman of yours, reputed by herself and by other authorities to be my mother. Is she my mother? Or perhaps I was the brat of a slave girl, and you graciously gave me your wife's tap to suck at. Leave me, leave this place. You've shown what you are. You palsied at death's gate, afraid to die, and with so little life left in you. Have you never heard of a father's duty? Is there no honor in you? We might have lived, she and I. We might have lived together all the rest of her days, and I should not now be crying. What have you not had that a man might have? Power in your prime as king, and I to succeed you, I, your son, in your own house, you risk nothing. I think you would not have died childless, leaving an empty house for strangers to ruin. Or was I perhaps a bad son? You will not say that I was a bad son either. I was good to you in your old age, both to you and my mother. And for this, you and she have treated me so. Go, I tell you, go. Time is short. Go, pump her full of more children. You will need comforting on your deathbed, will you not? And I will not bury you. This hand of mine will be no comfort to you. For all you cared when I needed you, I'm as good as dead. For all I care now, die when you will. I'm no son of yours. God, these old men. How they pray for death. How heavy is their life in the slow drag of days, and yet, when death comes near them, you'll not find one who will rise and walk with him. Not one whose years are still a burden to him.
Let your father alone, Admetus. There is sorrow enough in this place. Am I a Lydian slave, or perhaps a Phrygian slave, son, that you should abuse me so? Or am I your father, a Thessalian? Thessalian born, a king and a freeman? Is it I who made you heir to my house, who gave you everything? Is it I whose duty it is to die for you as well? Does your father owe you that debt? That is no law of the Greeks. My father told me of no such law. Dear boy, listen. For happiness or unhappiness, every man is born for himself. I give you all you deserve, slaves, subjects, money, and you'll soon have my lands, as I had them from my father. Then how have I cheated you? How have I hurt you? Die for you. Don't you die for me, and I'll not die for you. When it came to dying, did you not shudder away from it? Are you dead now, or did you not shove off the burden on your pretty wife? Coward. You call me a coward. You, less brave than the girl who died for you. A cautious hero. But you know best. A gallant road you found to immortality. Marry wife after wife, first making sure that they'll die for you. That's all. God, these young men, how they pray for life.
Say no more, fairies. Too much has been spoken on both sides.
Say as much as you like. I have spoken only the truth.
To have died for you would have been unfair to myself.
Is dying the same thing for a young man and an old?
A man must live his own life, not another's.
Live on, then. Live a longer life than God.
You curse your father with a longer life than God?
Because you whine for life when you might have died.
I see a dead girl here, yet you are alive.
Then this dead girl is the proof of your shamelessness.
Surely you will not say that I killed her.
I say only that someday you will need my help.
Take a dozen wives, that a dozen may die for you.
Cowardly old fool, afraid of death, afraid, afraid, afraid.
The daylight of God is sweet, I tell you. Sweet.
Your soul is a crawling thing, meaner than the meanest.
You would find an old man's funeral laughable then.
You will die. You will die someday and die in dishonor.
Dishonor will not much trouble me.
once I am dead.
God, God, how shameless these old men are.
She was not shameless, was she? Only demented.
For God's sakes, go. Let me bury my wife in peace.
Yes, I will go. You, being her murderer, should know the best way to bury her.
Go back to your woman. Hurry back, childless old man, and grow older. You'll not come into my house again. If heralds and trumpets could cut you off from me, by God, I'd do it.
But, friend, our present grief. Come, let us bring her body to burial.
Daughter of Peleus, Alcestis, queen, farewell.
Daughter of Peleus, Alcestis, queen, farewell.
Even to Hades' gate.
There may Hermes greet you, a kindly angel.
There may death be gentle. And if great souls and fair and generous have favor beneath the ground, you shall sit throned forever, the bride of the dark king.
Never in all my life have I met a fellow so shameless as this stranger, whoever he is. And to think of all the people who have come to this house and been entertained here. People from all over Greece, and then this one. He must have known that Admetus was in trouble, but he insisted upon staying. And as though this were not enough, he grumbled at the food we set before him and kept us running after more. I can still see him hoisting up that wine jug in both hands and pouring it down with not a drop of water in it until he was roaring drunk. And then he had to crown himself with myrtle and bawl out his bawdy songs. A pretty piece of counterpoint that was. This man in there bellowing with never a thought for all Admetus was suffering, and we in the next room mourning for our queen. But the king had told us not to let him see us with our eyes wet. And so here I am, waiting on this guest, this ruffian, this cutthroat. And she is gone. The queen is gone from her house. I could not follow her. I could not reach out my hand to her or even say goodbye to her. She was my dear lady, my mother, the mother of all of us. How often she saved us from a thousand punishments when Admetus was angry. And now this stranger comes, bursting in on all our trouble.
Hello there. Why so solemn? Why do you look so grim? Is this the way, the correct way for a servant to act, staring at the guests he serves? It is not. You should be trotting about with a smile like a good fellow. Friend, you behold in me your master's dearest friend. And what do you do? You look, to say the least, bilious. And all for the death of a woman you hardly knew. Come over here, I have something to tell you. Do you understand the facts of this mortal life? You do not. Of course not. Then listen to me. All men have to die, and that's a fact. There isn't one who knows when he'll get sacked. Death isn't visible before he comes. You can't predict your death by doing sums. There you are, friend. Straight from a first-class authority. Ponder, rejoice, and have a drink. Today's today, tomorrow will be tomorrow, and so on. Listen. Of all your gods and goddesses, your greater and lesser divinities, Cyprus is the best for mortal man. Honor Aphrodite, friend. She means well. And cheer up. Forget whatever it is that's gnawing you. And remember what I've been telling you. You believe me, don't you? Oh, I hope so. Here, have a garland. Have a drink. Have another drink. Have another little drink. Oh, mortal man, think mortal thoughts and have a drink with me. Wine's the best cure for sickly thoughts, so have a drink with me. Seriously, friend, you should try to rise superior to these minor afflictions. By God, this wine would lift you. And as for all these sour-faced, side-blasting, belly-aching fellows, What's life to them? Nothing but a catastrophe.
I know all about that, but today this house is in no mood for laughter.
Well, whoever's dead, she's a stranger, isn't she? I see no reason for inordinate mourning, since your master and mistress are both well.
Both well? Is it possible that even now you...
Has Admetus had lied to me?
Lied to you? No. He's been too good to you.
Well, must I go without my dinner because a stranger's died?
A stranger?
Can Admetus have hidden a real sorrow from me?
Go. Go back to your drinking. Leave the suffering to us.
There's an uneasiness in your words.
At any other time, we should not have minded your feasting.
Can it be that Admetus has made a fool of me?
You came at the wrong time, that's all. The house is in mourning. You can see for yourself.
Who is it? One of the children? The old father?
It's Alcestis, man. The queen is dead.
Oh. Fool. Fool, fool. I knew it. I felt it. I saw his eyes red with weeping. His hair clipped. Heavy motion. And he told me it was all for a stranger. A casual death. And I, drinking, rioting in the house of this excellent host. And he, crushed with grief. Drinking, bawling, crowning my head with myrtle. But it was not wholly my fault. You might have told me.
Admetus would never have sent a man away from his daughter.
Where is he now? Where is he burying her?
Go straight along the Larissa Road, and there... Not far from the town, you will find the place.
Now, my brave heart, my good hands scarred strong by many labors, now is the greatest of all your trials. Today, it is yours to prove that Alcmena, Electaeon's daughter, bore Zeus a son indeed. For Admetus' sake, we must bring Alcestis back to her house from the dead. I will follow the black god, old Thanatos, to her tomb. For there I shall find him drinking the blood of the lustral victims. And I will wrestle with death. I will crack his charnel body between my arms until he yields her up. But if he is gone, if he leaves the blood of offering untasted, I will go down to the sad streets of the dead, to Persephone and the dim lord of hell, and there beg for her life. And I will bring Alcestis back to the good sunlight, back to my friend who welcomed me to his house in spite of his loss. Where in all Thessaly, where in all Greece should there be a kindlier host? And he must never, never say that his goodness was wasted on a bad friend.
My mother was cursed the night she bore me, and I am faint with envy of all the dead. How clean they are, who are out of life forever. They are beautiful, and I would be with them. For I shall never be warm in the thick sunlight, nor walk again as other men walk here. She who was my life has been taken from me, stolen by death, for his still king.
Go into your house, Admetus. You must go in, though you have reason to weep here. We know today you have lived through a bitter time, but all your bitterness cannot bring her back. You will not see her ever again.
When you say that, my heart splits with the spearhead. Better, oh, better if we had never married, never lived here together in this house. Men who never marry, men who have no children, each of them has one life to live, his own. And a man can endure the pain of a single life. He will not see his children's sicknesses, their marriage beds empty, cool with death. All his life long, he will be safe from this.
Fate is too strong for you. It is fate's fall. Will you not see anything but sorrow? Dark as your life may be, you must endure it, Admetus.
Men have lost their wives before. Images of disaster crush us all.
Mourning without end, and heartbreak here, and the earth so heavy upon the ones we loved.
Why did you hold me back when I would have thrown myself into her grave? I would have lain dead with her, and now the dark king of hell would have us both instead of only her. Together, we should have crossed the strange water.
I knew a man whose son died. A young man, full of promise. It was his only son. Yet he endured this bravely. Sorrow enough, yet he endured it bravely. A childless old man, white haired, and bent towards death.
How can I go into this house and live here now? It has all changed. I can see, as if from a great distance, the evening I came in under the torch. Holding her by the hand and the music around us. The singing and the great crowd following to wish her, who is now dead, happiness. And happiness to me. They said our marriage joined the magnificence of two lines of kings. But now, instead of songs, there's only weeping. Where there were white robes, these gray mourners beckon me in to sleep in an empty bed.
You were a stranger to sorrow. Therefore, fate has cursed you. Nevertheless, you have saved your life. The wife you loved is dead. But is this strange, that the wife you loved is dead? Death has dissolved many marriages before this.
Friends, Alcestis is happier than I, whoever may think differently. Now she will feel no pain, no sorrow ever, no more distress, but peace. And her name is blessed. But as for me, I have no right to be living, I know that. My life is a death. My death is born today. How can I go on living in this house, going and coming and no one there at all? Only the emptiness where once she was, and the bed and the chairs of hers and the floor covered with dust. And her children crying, coming to me day after day, crying, asking for her. And all her servants in tears, thinking what a sweet mistress they have lost. And in the city there will be dinners and weddings, and I cannot go to them. How should I meet her friends? This one who hates me will whisper to another, there is the man whose life is a daily shame. The man who dared not die, whose cowardice let his own wife lay down her life for him. What kind of man is he who hates his father because he himself was base? You have said that I saved my life. What good, then, if I have lost everything? If I have lost my honor?
I have found power in the mysteries of thought, in delicate chanting breathed by the rare music. I have learned much in the curious books of men, but fate is stronger than anything I have known. Nothing in mortal wisdom can subdue her, neither old prayers nor the skill Apollo taught. She has neither altar nor image that we may kneel to her.
There are no temples where she might hear our prayers, but let us pray to her now.
O goddess, stranger, be never more cruel than you have been this day. Though all that God wills, you must bring to pass, and though your hand, where it shone, would crumple steel.
Caught by her now, Admetus, will you beat with your fists against her? Rest, dear friend. The dead will not hear your crying, you in the daylight. The children of the gods, all the loud heroes, where is their bravery now? Thin, drained in night.
But she, who was dearest among us when she lived, still shall be dearest of all among the dead.
And not as one dead forever. We may not think of Alcestis as really dead. Her tomb shall be a shrine that travelers love. And turning at the roadside, they shall say, this woman died for her husband in the old time, and now moves here a gracious influence. Lady, your blessing on mine. So shall they say forever.
And as we stood there, sharing our king's sorrow, Heracles came back, leading by the hand a figure heavily veiled.
Admetus, a man with a grievance against his friend should speak plainly. When I came to your house, you were in trouble. I would have helped you as a friend should. But you, instead of telling me the nature of your sorrow, locked it up in your heart and made me welcome here in your sad house. How could I know? I crowned myself with myrtle and made the usual libations to the gods. And all the time it was your wife who was dead. It was wrong of you, Admetus. But enough of that. Listen, I have come back, and I must tell you why. You see this woman here? Take her. Keep her for me until I come again. For I must fight with Diomed, the king, and win the Thracian horses. But if I fail, God forbid that I should fail, though, keep her here. Let her serve you in your house. She was hard to win. Not far from here, I came to a public contest for athletes. And she was the prize I took away. Horses were given to the best runners and the jumpers. Splendid cattle for the boxers and wrestling champions. And then this woman. Would you have had me pass by so worthy a prize? Then take her. Care for her, I beg you. She is worth your trouble, as she was worth all my trouble in winning her.
I had not thought of wronging you, dear friend, when I hid my wife's death from you. Do not think that. Only if you had gone to another's house, I should have been hurt twice over. It seemed enough that I should mourn my wife. But as for this woman, oh, Heracles, my friend and my lord, if you love me indeed, take her to some other man who has not suffered, and have him keep her for you. That eye is full of your friends. You'll find someone. Please, do not remind me of what I have lost. Seeing her here in my own house, my throat is hot again with tears, and I have suffered enough. A young woman? Where is there a place here for a young woman? Here, living among these rough men. Do you think she could walk safely among them? I tell you, youth is hot-blooded. Youth is hard to restrain. It's for your own good that I'm telling you these things. Or perhaps you would have me lead her to my dead wife's chamber and install her there. Could I do that? Give her that bed? Who would hate me more? The people of my own house because I had defiled the memory of her who saved me? Or Alcestis herself? Woman, whoever you are like Alcestis. Did you know it? Same height. Same bearing. Heracles, Heracles, for God's sake, take her away. I am beaten. Do not stand here torturing me. I look at her, and it is Alcestis that I see. I look at her, and my heart splits. My heart's in agony of weeping. Go, take her, go.
I think this is the first time I know what unhappiness is.
Nevertheless, a man must take what God gives.
If only I could have brought your wife to you, back from the dead.
I know, but why speak of it? The dead can never come back.
You're only hurting yourself. Try to be brave.
It's easy to say be brave. It's harder to do.
What good will it do you to mourn your wife forever?
No good at all. But my grief is stronger than I.
The love of the dead is bitter, I know, and strong.
Heracles, I am nothing.
No man can deny that you have lost a devoted wife.
And there is no more pleasure for me in anything.
Time will take care of that.
Yes, if time is death.
Perhaps a wife? Perhaps another marriage?
Not another word. Are you a friend of mine?
An empty bed, then? A widower forever?
No woman in the whole world will ever sleep at my side.
Do you think that this attitude of yours is necessary?
Yes. To the dead. Wherever she is, I have promised her.
Good. Very good. But some would say you're a fool.
Let them say it. But they will never call me a bridegroom.
In any case, I approve of your faithfulness.
And if I forget it, may I die the same death as she.
And now, friend, take this woman and keep her here in your good house.
By the great God who is your father, no, I beg of you.
You're wrong to deny me this, Admetus. You are wrong.
If I should do it, the shame would eat out my heart.
Come, come. In a little while, you might even come to enjoy it.
God, why did you have to win her at the game?
It was my victory, of course, but also your victory.
As you say, but let her go now. Let her go.
Oh, she will go if she must. But for the last time, must she?
She must. Although I wouldn't have you go away angry.
You know how much this means to me, Admetus.
Very well, then. You have won again. But you know what it is costing me.
Perhaps someday you will be glad of it. Take her.
Take her into the house, and she's going to live here.
No, no, I cannot have her turned over to your slaves.
Then take her inside yourself, if you feel that way.
No, I've given her to you. Here, take her hand.
I will not touch that woman. Let her go in. She's quite free.
I depend upon you alone.
You are my lord. I must do what you ask me.
Your hand, then. Give me your hand and take this woman's hand. Must you behave as though you'd met the Gorgon? There.
You have her hand?
I have.
Then keep it well. Someday you will know that I was a profitable guest. Look at her, Admetus. As you have said, she is not unlike your wife.
A miracle. A ghost. Alcestis? Are you really Alcestis, or is this the cruelest trick that God has ever played?
No trick, Admetus. It is really your wife. Your own wife brought back to you.
Be careful. How do I know she's not a ghost from hell?
The guest you honored is not a dealer in ghosts.
And this is my wife that I laid in her tomb myself?
This is your wife. I understand you're finding it strange.
And I can touch her? Speak to her as though she were alive?
She is alive. Speak to her, man. Speak to her.
Alcestis. Alcestis. My dear. My dearest wife, it is you. Your face, your body, mine again. Mine, and I had thought you lost forever.
Yours. And I pray that your happiness bring down no envious curse from the gods, Admetus.
Oh, friend, great-hearted son of the mighty Zeus, may God keep you and guard you forever. You alone, you, Heracles, have saved me and my house. But tell me, how did you bring her back from the dead?
I wrestled with the god who was her master.
Where did you meet with death? Where did you fight him?
I found him hiding near her tomb and threw him.
But why is she so silent? Can she not speak again?
It is not permitted you to hear her voice for 3 days longer. Then she will have washed away the stain of death and memory of hell. So take her, Admetus, my good friend, and think that this is the reward of a generous host. Now, goodbye. I have work to do.
Stay with us, Heracles. All my house is yours.
Another day, perhaps. Now I must go.
May every kind of happiness go with you. And may you soon come back to us. Friends, I command these things to the whole city and the assembly of the four quarters. Let groups of dancers be formed to celebrate the glory of this day. Let the flesh of oxen smoke on every altar to propitiate the gods. For in one day, the old life has changed for the new. And now I say that I am the happiest of all men.
Destiny has many forms, and heaven works in the dark with riddles and confusion. If the expected happens, who can say, I knew that this would be, and in this fashion? God's way is unexpected, odd, or even. This is the meaning of all you have watched today.
You have just heard a performance of the Alcestis of Euripides in an English version by Dudley Fitz and Robert Fitzgerald. Parts of the musical score were especially composed by Alan Sly, and the cast included the prologue, William Thornton, Apollo, John Brewster, Death, Mark Smith, Alcestis, Helen Clare, Admetus, Neil O'Malley, Heracles, Carl Benton Reed, Fairies, Elmer Lair, a maidservant, Ellis Baker, a manservant, Burford Hamden, Hecoragus, William Podmore, and the chorus, Charles Webster, Jane Erskine, Clifford Devereaux, Dorothy DeHaan, Elaine Melchior, and Waldemar Capel. The Alcestis was adapted for radio, produced and directed by James Church. The Great Plays series is a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company. Next week at this same hour, Every Man will be presented. A drama guide giving complete background material for the Great Plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Columbia University Press in care of Great Plays, Columbia University, New York City, New York. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining Great Plays of the series.